did you go to school?
And who's your name?
What do you think of what's going on right now, mate?
These evil little invisible parasites.
Satan-worshipping Freemason morons.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
We're not run by factions.
Get the fuck out of Cameron!
There are much more powerful international forces in play.
Is this pig guy? Is this what pig guy is? I don't fucking know what's happening.
I have to actually Google a neo-Nazi man.
Please get outside and look at the moon quickly.
It's been crazy, guys, but guess what? It's how it is, mate.
Mate, because I want to do it
slowly. But I ain't spending any time on it.
Welcome to the Conditional Release Program, a podcast that delves into the netherworld of cults, crims, and con artists. I'm Jack the Insider, otherwise known as Peter Hoisted for tax purposes.
And I'm Joe Hill, and today we've got a huge show for you. We've got anti-vaxxers pretending they're not anti-vaxxers. Textbook.
Lots of them.
We've got Elon Musk pretending he's a free speech absolutist. Just yeah. Don't say the word cisgender or he'll shadow ban you.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm not kidding.
And we've got soft sits coming out of our colorectums. But will they ever win?
Well, you'll have to listen to find out. But we're also reprising our audience input segment of which black pill fuckwit said that.
Hooray.
Will it come back every week? That depends on you, listeners. Drop us a line.
I figure if we can get enough listeners, one day they'll write the whole show for us. That will always be the dream. You know?
Oh, of course.
The podcast will be like an audio copy of That's Life with you, dear listeners, writing in and telling us wacky personal stories like the one where your husband cuts his toenails in bed and it's like sleeping in a bag of Doritos.
That's fucked. So, look, to be honest, QAnon has been doing that for many years and making about $1 million doing it. But that's cool. Never mind. They've got a formula. But if you are going to write our shows, dear listeners, you better make the beer plug a good one because the fine folks at CB Co. Brewing have kept the discount code up and running, CRP10. And if I'm being honest, I used it on Friday. Yes, that's right. I bought beer. It fucking sucked, but they only send me so much and I drink it faster than they send it. So after going down the bottle and getting a few stale four packs of
supply
nonsense,
and demand issues. Yeah.
Honestly, I had a whole bunch of Nipahs and IPAs and they're not the same. So I pulled out the discount code, chucked out the credit card, and it worked. Bless their hearts. So you owe them. You owe them big time, listeners. So make the beer plug good or don't send me a fucking word.
All right. And of course, you can help
Too
us
much?
Keep the lights on here by dropping us a bit of coin through our Patreon, www.patreon.com/conditionalreleaseprogram. And for as little as $5 a month, you can have access to all sorts of behind the wall content, black label, that kind of thing. And even go around to Joel's house and stalk him for a month or two. We won't press charges. Promise.
Yeah, look, what's a better way of saying I love you than
you have
lurking
to promise,
around my
Joel.
House? I promise, it's fine. I can't say that this will be the same. But look, we can't get too fixated on this because we do have a lot to get through today. It's going to spend an hour and a half in the fucking intro just to talk about CB Co. the whole time. So let's kick the show off with the Conditional Release Program's weekly news. Well, latest, really. It's not really weekly anymore.
Everyone knows Elon is up for free speech. He's a free speech absolutist, or so he says, which means everything is on the table. Child sexual exploitation material.
Great.
Nazi propaganda. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Even visions of an alleged perpetrator stabbing a priest in Western Sydney, which remains on the X platform and threatens the alleged perpetrator's right to a fair trial.
Uh-huh.
Just want to talk about that for a little bit, Joel. You've seen the footage. Have you seen
everyone has
unrestrained stuff? Yeah, it's still turning up on the Aussie Cossacks account, funnily enough. Yep. I thought it was supposed to be geo-blocked.
Yeah.
Well, that was the talk, and then now apparently not.
No.
Anyway, that's basically available. You could see it all over Telegram, all over wherever you want to go, but that's just the whole point of this stuff. You know,
it's pretty fucking disappointing. We expect better from Twitter. Twitter's meant to be the sort of like, you know, journalistic, decent place, and Telegram is the shithole where fuckwits like Aussie Cossack could be like, I thumb my nose at the law. I'm basically Russian. Whereas Twitter, we just expect better. But now Elon Musk is in charge. We don't expect better. In fact, we expect worse, which
Well, the
is
video
sad.
Still appears on the Aussie Cossack's account. Now, he's not geo-blocking or geo-transmitting out of Russia, is he? I mean, he's basically in Sydney.
Well, the geo-blocking is for Australian audiences and not so much the sender.
Yeah, well, it's certainly available to me when I checked it earlier today as we record this on the 29th of April. Yeah. So, look, it should strike us all as a little bit odd that a South African parliamentarian with a huge name, Mandla Mandela, grandson of the great Nelson Mandela, should have his account suspended. That's his ex account, Joel. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Tell us, this is comes from the pages of the New Republic, Joel.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that Mandla Mandela does have a big name, and you're going to make me say it in this article. I'm not going to pronounce it properly, and I'm going to look like a twat. Anyway, thank you. X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, suspended an account owned by the grandson of former South African President Nelson Mandela on Friday, April 26. It is currently unclear why the social media platform owned by Elon Musk banned Zwelivlil?
Skull and Crossbones name right there.
Zwelivlil? I mean,
if you're a newsreader, you'd be having nightmares. It looks to be Zwelivlil.
Zwelivlil,
but yeah. Zwelivlil Mandla Mandela.
I'm going Mandla Mandela because that's hard to say.
Go with that. That's
I'm very Anglo Mandela myself. I just really can't pronounce shit outside of basic English. Anyway, a member of the National Assembly of South Africa, that's Mandla.
It's their parliament.
It is. So the company has issued no statement regarding its decision to restrict the South African politician's speech, but the timing is questionable. Mandela has spent the last week making multiple public appearances in support of Palestinian liberation, quoting his grandfather ahead of his voyage aboard a Freedom Flotilla ship. Sounds very cookerish, to be honest. But it's not. It's sailing to Gaza from Turkey with the intention to provide more than 5,000 tons of aid to the war-torn enclave, which fucking needs it. That's my editorial at the end there.
Yeah, if that's what's going on. So why would Elon Musk, the self-described free speech absolutist, suspend the account of a South African parliamentarian who is engaged in a humanitarian program? We don't know, but the account remains suspended as we record this. In other better news of censorship on X, Joel, Elon and X have decided free speech is wasted on Australia's numero uno Nazi. Is that the right thing? I should be saying that in German, shouldn't I? Not... But anyway.
Number eins.
Blair Cottrell, who has also had his account suspended. We saw that today, Joel, didn't we?
I think Tom Sewell will have fucking words about Blair Cottrell being the number one Nazi.
Oh,
but
be bleating.
I'll leave that to them to figure that little dispute out.
Well, let's see which account is reinstated first. The Nazi boy or the grandson of the greatest political leader of the 20th century?
Yeah, after spending a few minutes on my sock puppet account that I used to track Babbitt and other right-wing figures who have blocked me, my money's on Cottrell.
I reckon, yes. I'm not taking that bet, by the way. No. He might be on the money there. Now, Joel, what do you do if you're facing a police investigation amid allegations of rape, assault, and emotional abuse between the years of 2006 and 2013 during a joint investigation by Britain's Channel 4's dispatches and The Times and The Sunday Times? We might remember that feature.
Go to Bjorka.
Yes, look. There he is, Russell Brand, between 2006, very specific time, 7 years, I guess you could almost say eight, allegations of rape, assault, and emotional abuse. Well, what do you do, Joel?
What do you do?
You find God.
Ah.
You, of course you do. Here he is. Yeah, well, I hadn't seen our Lord and Saviour got caught between the couch cushions.
Yes.
Yeah, no wonder we couldn't find him. That's right, folks. That's a really bad joke. That's right. Folks, Rusty has trodden the well-worn path of those who find themselves in a spot of bother and convert to Christianity. And if you're going to convert, you've got to stick your bonds in water. Of course you've got to do that. Get baptized before you can move on and forget all about all that unpleasantness of rape and sexual assault you may have done allegedly.
Allegedly.
This report came from Business Insider. Go on.
British comedian and actor-turned-political influencer Russell Brand has announced his plans to be baptised, culminating a months-long journey exploring the Christian faith. Quote, "This Sunday, I'm taking the plunge," Brand said in a video shared to X on Friday. Quote, "I'm getting baptised."
Yeah, political political influencer, the Business Insider has described, a political influencer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that.
Dunno.
I mean, who's voting for him? He's not on a ballot. What's that's just a really, really twisted turn. Sorry, Joe. Carry on.
I think he likes to think that he's not political, he's spiritual, but, I mean, predominantly he's a fuckwit. Anyway, he said that baptism had been explained to him as an opportunity to die and be reborn.
Yeah.
Quote, an opportunity to leave the past behind and be reborn in Christ's name, like it says in Galatians. And he continues to say that you can live as an enlightened and awakened person.
Quoting Bible verse already. That's a really nice touch, isn't it? You know, he loves the New Testament. Galatians, for those interested, is the ninth book of the New Testament, written by Paul, not the Apostle Paul, sometimes described as the Apostle Paul, but the great televangelist of his time, Paul of Antioch, later St. Paul.
I've never heard of Galatians.
It was also in Galatians where Paul wrote, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Which would have really triggered J.K. Rowling, you know, if she was around in AD 60, Paul running around there saying, "Look, you're all the bloody same."
Yep. Yeah, that would have gone down very badly.
And yeah, male and female. Wow.
But what of the bathrooms, Jack? What of the bathrooms?
Bold move. You're pretty conservative man, St. Paul, as a rule, but he's gone nuts there.
Oh, man. Look, he's been attending a local college. That's the problem. He's been indoctrinated by all those trans lecturers. So the media personality said that he was, quote, thinking about doing it, getting baptized in the River Thames, recently found to have high levels of E. coli, ending the video, quote, "I may be leaving behind the sins, but I might be picking up some pretty serious viruses."
By E. coli, of course, they mean shit. There's a lot of, there's a lot of shit in the Thames.
Yeah.
Yeah, going back to the, the good old days. Back to the pre-sewer days, but people just wouldn't do that anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Thames will have more E. coli in it after Rusty Brand jumps in.
Is that your way of saying he's full of shit?
Well,
I think that's the joke you were trying to make.
He might back one out in the Thames.
For the listeners at home, that's what I think he was trying to say. And if he wasn't trying to say that, I'm trying to say that Russell Brand is full of shit.
No, well, you know, it's the double-ended christening.
Isn't it just?
You get your head wet and back one out into some running water.
Hey, look, it's convenient.
Rusty does need a forgiving God, Joel. Not one of those Old Testament wrath of God fuckers who would have smited him and turned him into a pillar of salt.
Fuck yeah.
He needs a benevolent God that says, "Look, I know you've been a bit rapey on Sunday, but the whole point of my religion is that you can be forgiven for just about anything as long as Rusty is prepared to change his ways."
Is he though? Not sure that's how the
criminal justice system works.
Mm.
There are things like... statutes of limitation, but essentially it's not quite the same. Anyway, Brandt has previously claimed he was an aspiring Buddhist and even flirted with Hare Krishnas. He's been a bit of a journey. And just quietly, if he is going to go Christian, just being a Hare Krishna, that's a stoning.
Yeah.
It's a stoning right there.
Yeah.
All those graven images.
False prophets and whatnot.
Look, and if Christianity doesn't pan out, I believe Scientology is hiring. I mean, it does get a bit expensive.
It does, but the career opportunities are huge. I mean, even rapists can get work in Scientology.
Straight to Hollywood. Well, he's
allegedly rapists can get work. Yeah. Well, look, I must say, I do agree that the whole idea of leaving the past and being reborn by sucking down some shit in the Thames isn't a legal defense. At least it's not a strong one.
It's not going to get you past the criminal justice system. If indeed that's what happens, he is currently under police investigation. There have been a number of reports.
Yeah, allegedly, we know the score. But this reminds me strongly of Roger Stone, who became a Christian when the fire was strongly at his feet and he was getting a little bit warm when he converted in 2019 after being convicted of obstruction, witness tampering, and lying to Congress. But he was commuted by Donald Trump. So I don't know why he even bothered.
Yeah.
Probably a part of the deal with Donald Trump is like,
be a Christian and I'll do it. Be a Christian and I'll commute your sentence. And he's like, okay.
Oh, nice attempt at Trump there.
Oh, I'm trying. It's hard. It's really hard.
No, I think the real reason Stone was pardoned was because the rest of the prisoners just couldn't stand him. I mean, just a terrible, terrible human being, really.
To be fair,
just Roger completely Stone, untrustworthy.
He'd get one of those fuckers elected. That's what he'd do for fucking, like, you know, for rations, for extra mashed potato at lunchtime. He'd fucking get one of them elected. And you know what? At this point, in post-sanity America,
he gets shivved in the Nixon tattoo. You've seen that, of course, haven't you?
Yeah. You are.
Well, there you go. Now.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I am pro-vaccines, but my kids were vaccinated. I just don't like mandates.
Let me just interrupt you there, Joel, and just ending a sentence with a conjunction. It's just an unforgivable error.
I'm sorry, but this is what I'm not an anti-vaxxer,
but what are you, from Queensland?
Yeah, they are from Queensland. Have you seen how they vote? They can all get fucked. Sorry, not Queenslanders. We love our Queensland listeners. We've got in trouble for that many, many times. That's a very sincere attraction. Anyway, look, you can all get fucked. I just find it so intolerable to anyone who says that, and it's so disingenuous. I mean, look, anti-vaxxers lie, but come on, at least own your hobby. So recently, the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Minns, posted a photo on Facebook of him just getting the flu jab. And encouraging others to do so, which is very reasonable because the flu sucks and the jab makes it suck less. I don't see the problem with that. The comments were exactly as you can imagine. And while most of the people who railed against the COVID jab were mostly angry that someone was telling them what to do, unfortunately, that morphed into full-blown anti-vax bullshit because their insistence that they were not anti-vaccine but anti-mandate was clearly fucking bullshit.
Up a minute here, Joel, because Chris Minns does the photo op, cops the vaccine. He wasn't in power during the pandemic, but he's just going in for a flu shot and suggesting for people that might think about it themselves doing the same thing. And just cops an absolute bucket of shit poured all over it.
It was probably put on O'Neig's Telegram page or some shit, like some My Place shit. But the main crux of the thing that really pisses me off is you've got all these fuckers who just say, I'm against the mandates, but I'm not anti-vax. And then you see a flu jab because they all say, oh, no, it's just the COVID vaccine. It's just the COVID vaccine I've got a problem with. Yeah. Every other vaccine is fine, except for every other vaccine, they're not fine.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck.
This is the thing. Getting a flu jab, I mean, that's become – before COVID – people would sort of go, they just have no politicised view about it. But
exactly.
Yeah, now you've got at least, I reckon, a third of the population sort of pondering these sorts of things.
Protesting because of their political fucking affiliation.
And
that's
these
insane.
These rage farmers you're about to go on with.
All right, so here we go. Career fuckwit Dr. Pierre Corey, who was and still is a massive pusher of ivermectin as a treatment and preventative, or they say prophylactic, which I always thought was very condom-y, for COVID-19, he's chucking a Wakefield and saying this.
Before COVID, I didn't believe vaccines caused autism or that everyone would cover it up. Now that I get that they do and my questions become how. This brilliant article explains how they cause autisms and those... And that, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. This brilliant article explains how they cause autism and that those same mechanisms underlie COVID vax injuries. Nice use of the underlie there.
Yeah.
Although misspelled, but can't have everything.
He also tweeted this.
Prior to COVID, Gardasil was the worst vaccine unleashed upon America. And like now, its issues were covered up to sell more shots. Jesus Christ. Did you know if you already had HPV, Gardasil made you more likely to get cervical cancer? Absolute bullshit. Corey is another anti-vaxxer who has said, well, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but...
Exactly. Do you see a pattern forming here?
Yep. I reckon I've spoken to this clown on Twitter. He points to one and only one Gardasil injured young woman all the time. same report. Now, I don't know. I understand the veracity of it. There may have been she may well have been vaccinated, but the absolute tiny numbers. And then I pointed out to this guy the Scottish study which found after 16 years, not one vaccinated woman in Scotland, now turning 28, in the last year or so, has been diagnosed with cervical cancer. And he came back and said, oh, no, you know, there's nothing. That's the women in their 20s don't get it. I mean, that's just absolute bullshit. For the record, cervical cancer is the most common cancer in women in their 20s and 30s in Scotland, with around 300 per year diagnosed, 5.5 million people in Scotland. You know, these are fairly strong numbers, 300 that won't be there going forward, 300 per year diagnosed in a country the size of 5.5 million people.
You will hate this.
It's a bloody success.
It's a fucking massive success, but I would say...
This guy's a complete shit dribbler. I reckon I've spoken to him on Twitter.
There's a Venn diagram of right-wing misogyny and anti-Gardasil sentiment, and I'm going to leave it at that. Anyway, look, this bullshit line of not being a fucking anti-vax has been repeated by some of the most fucking egregious self-described vaccine skeptics in modern history. And it once again has been flung out of RFK Jr.'s lie hole in an interview with Bill Maher on HBO. Oh,
he'd be just terrible. I haven't seen this interview, but I can't imagine anyone much worse than Maher interviewing Jr.
Bill Maher was slightly restrained and still quite stupid at the same time. I mean, look. The guy used to be funny, and
was he?
I'm speculating here, allegedly, yeah. But after realizing he has more Me Too skeletons in his closet than a bottle of Rohypnol in fucking Miramax Studios, I reckon he's done a full Russell Brand and turned into a right wing fuckhead to try and make himself uncancelable.
Well, zip ties under the spare wheel in the boot of the car, that sort of thing.
He needs his tools. Allegedly.
No, that was all a joke. That was just a joke from me.
Exactly.
But anyway, okay. You think so?
It's his pivot. I mean, look at the fucking asshole. The timing is too suspect. And I mean, I don't think that he's stupid. I just think he's a bit of a prick.
You think Russell Brand, they head to the sort of extreme right to
you know, he might be stupid
comfort and they'll be able to go look I'm being cancelled
exactly he's become uncancellable by shifting allegiances and trying to bury the fact that he was a sex pest from long way back.
Okay,
so. Look, RFK Jr. has said that he's not anti-vaccine and that this whole anti-vaxxer term is just used to silence him, which he says all the time.
He's on a TV show, is he?
Yeah, he's on the telly.
How's that getting on with the attempt to silence him?
Well,
he's not on a TV show. He's on a podcast, isn't he?
Well, no, he's on TV and podcast. There's a crossover there. But this is him on the television, on HBO, on a widely fucking watched show, where he basically exclaimed that he was not anti-vaccine but against vaccine mandates. Once again.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, look, aren't we all?
It's the line. Say the line. Bobby, say the line. So this might be catnip to idiots, but he summed it up himself quite clearly when he said, quote, no vaccine is safe and effective on the Lex Fridman podcast. He is an anti-vaxxer. That's all there is to it.
He got caught out on this. See, he got caught out on this, and actually it was a Fox News where he was pulled up on that, and he said, no, I've never said that no vaccine is safe and effective. And he got pulled up and shown... Here's some tape of you saying just that.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty powerful moment. But then he started going on with basically talking about methyl mercury rates in children who are vaccinated. And it's just a total bullshit argument.
It's gish galloping. He just turns around with a whole bunch of information that the people he's talking with, because they're not qualified to debunk it.
And it's just through this journalist off, because she's not going to know about ethyl mercury or methyl mercury in newborns. I mean, you know, as it's been explained to me, if you live on this planet, you're actually going to get, you know, deposits of mercury in your body just from being a newborn on this planet. And if you don't want mercury, you'll have to go and live on another planet. The way it is.
If RFK Jr. went on something like Debunk the Funk or our very own you know,
yeah, it's Dr.
Dr. Nino. He'd be fucked. He'd be fucking fucked.
It was a nice effort from. It wasn't. I don't know. I might, listeners might sort of prove me wrong as to. I'm starting to think it wasn't a Fox News now, but he did get pulled up on that video. It was a nice moment because he just actually had to say, "You just lied about that, didn't you?" And he had to just sit there awkwardly for a while. And then he rolled, got on a roll about methyl mercury.
Yeah, that's what he does. You know, he's a lawyer. This is how he works. Mm. So, like, I can say that one of the things that I've seen today in my sort of looking this up is that not only have people called this out, as you say, but when they've pointed out and they haven't had the footage, he's called them liars. The fucking balls on this guy when they say, no, you did say that on Lex Fridman, and he goes, no, I didn't. You're lying.
Yeah, I've been taken out of context. That's the way he pulled it afterwards, but he did get sat in his ass, which was nice.
He's a fucking asshole. But that's the thing. Like, this guy lives in a parallel universe. If you're worried about Biden's dementia, how about a fucking guy who lies very naturally and has incredibly bad intentions? I mean, it's a no fucking brainer. You don't want him. So Ma had RFK Jr. on his podcast mid last year, and they discussed all the Kenny Litter bullshit. I skipped through most of that and then got to the vaccine part. And Ma, the dumb fuck, claimed the Great Barrington Declaration was proof that doctors did have concerns about the COVID vaccine and they should not be ignored.
Oh, they should, though. The Great Barrington Declaration is the brainchild of a libertarian think tank called the American Institute for Economic Research. Not much happening there, considering their solution to everything is, you know, just the market. Just let the markets, they'll just take care of everything.
Problem solved, mate. Don't worry about
so
it.
I guess they had to start pushing COVID disinformation as a side hustle. The point of it was to say that lockdowns would not save anyone and only the disabled, elderly and infirm should stay home and we should aim for herd immunity where everyone gets sick and hopefully they won't get sick again. Well, they do get sick again. The plan was never actually meant to work. But, yeah, I mean, this is the revisionism that's going on right now. But we should have done that.
Well, when all these fucking anti-vaxxers
and you start as a politician start enunciating a period where people of a certain age will be, you know, but basically just set aside, essentially set aside for death. That is a big bold thing. Of course, every sort of mnemonic. Influenza-based disease like COVID, or COVID is closer to the common cold, but every sort of pneumonic pandemic that we have, that basically some of these kill children first too. So what are you going to do there? You're going to, you know, in order that we can have a round of golf and get out and do what we normally do, what are we going to do? We're going to isolate children as well? And it's just all bullshit.
Evidence would suggest that RFK Jr. doesn't have a huge problem with children dying, but I'm just saying, you know, allegedly.
Is that allegedly? Yes,
is it Samoa or Tonga that we should be talking about? Or, yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, so look, unsurprisingly, many of the signatories in the Great Barrington Declaration didn't actually sign it. They're faked because it was an online form.
It's not like the Declaration of Independence where you can actually see the signatures. No,
there's no Hancocking here. It's just Boaty McBoakface.
Step aside, guys. I know how to sign my name.
Well, how about IP Freely? Maybe signs with his dick. Dr. Person fake name, and one that people really liked. I had to Google this. Dr. Harold Shipman.
Oh, yes, I know who he is.
And he's a doctor. He is a doctor. An English GP who is known as being the most prolific serial killer in history with an estimated 250 victims.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, like, of course, herd immunity is dumb.
Busy man.
Peter McCulloch, he came out, who is one of the other sort of cooker doctors who thinks the jab has killed, like, 14 million people, and blah, blah, blah. You guys all know him. He had the whole thing of one and done. When you get COVID, that's it. So they all piss on Fauci for getting a few things wrong at the start. And, yeah, he did get a few things wrong alongside the thousands of colleagues working on it. Yeah, people got things wrong because we were operating at the speed of, holy shit, this is bad. Yeah. He got that wrong. And trying to get public policy changed so we had a herd immunity strategy, which wouldn't have worked past about 30 days because herd immunity doesn't last long.
Well, how did Sweden's end up?
Huh?
How did their attempt at herd immunity? That was the policy.
What, the US?
No, Sweden.
Oh, Sweden, yeah, that wasn't great. But then again,
they had to give it away. They had to stop.
But the Swedish, they just ended up staying home anyway.
Much higher mortality rates among, you know, and certainly among their elderly. It really was a kind of, oh, well, just put out the elderly, just bring out your dead, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. They are pesky and expensive. So I totally understand. The elderly problem has a solution. It's called a pandemic. Let's do it. So, look, it is frustrating that this is being brought out on a mainstream platform like Mars. But the fact that Mars is just such a fucking right-wing blowhard now, just it says to me that HBO just need to pull the fucking plug. But yeah, so the actual HBO thing, like I used to watch the show a lot. I really liked his sort of left-leaning atheist sort of sass. He's just another pick-me dickhead. He said in the podcast last year, that Elon Musk is a genius. Yeah. So that, to me, makes him a fucking idiot.
There was just, if you don't mind me interrupting, there was another undrivered Tesla prang.
Oh.
Fatality. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, if you can still be a genius.
Add to the Elon Musk death count, which probably arguably is lower than human error. I imagine so. But
I wouldn't say so at the moment. I'm not suggesting it's beyond, certainly in driverless cars, they're having problems.
Well, I saw a Tesla and it was driving like an absolute fuckwit. And I looked in the window and I saw an absolute fuckwit. And I looked across from me to this absolute fuckwit. And he had one of those dangly little rear view mirror things of a cartoon Elon Musk. And I just thought to myself, you are the one fuckwit who bought a fucking Tesla consciously after he bought Twitter and went, yeah, that's you. Good on you, mate. You drive like a prick.
I've actually spoken to people who bought Teslas and said, well, what do you think of Elon Musk? And they go, and it's normally like, oh, look, every now and then you get this, you know, maybe every century you get these people who just push through and you know, it's, I'm not saying it's always right, you know, this guy's just fine, but there's the funniest thing I ever saw was him being introduced on a Chappelle stand-up gig, and he came out and was booed.
Yeah,
and he hated it. It was like watching him crumble.
Oh, it's amazing. I read the entire deposition with him and Bankston, and
he might have been bullied as a child. This could have happened.
I believe he was, but also I think some of that might have been the fact that he was quite awful himself. But one of the things, also his dad was a real fuckwit as well. It's a whole thing.
Bill Maher would have been a terrible child for that matter too, Joe.
Oh, I was a bit of a prick at times, you know. Had my moments. But the deposition with him and Bankston on the court case that's happening about the fact that he, I think, let a bit of footage that insinuated that a Jewish kid was a Nazi or some sort of shit, very Aussie Cossack vibes. Anyway, read the deposition because he is honestly an idiot teenager. He is arrested development. It's fucking embarrassing. Anyway, I digress.
Yes, hard. You are. Yes.
So this all came from a post on Pete's Telegram from rabid anti-vaxxer fake news peddler site Vigilant Fox, which I thought was Lawrence Fox, but no, it's an anonymous fox, fox.
That said, watch Robert Kennedy Jr. drop COVID vaccine truth bombs. Bill Maher. And then goes on, 25% of Americans believe they know someone who died because of the COVID-19 shots. It's one in four. 52% of Americans believe that the vaccines are causing injuries, including death. That's more than the majority. Obviously, I know these are obvious mathematical statements, but that's a staggering number.
Isn't it?
In Pfizer's own trials, people who got the vaccine had a 23% higher death rate from all causes at the end of the study. What's that, mate?
Pfizer's own trials.
People who got the vaccine had a 23% higher death rate, and that's another, you know, sort of
trying to insinuate that the people who got the vaccine may not have died from COVID; they died from other causes at a higher rate.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Uh huh.
So, but who? How many people? How many? What's the percentage of people who believe in that?
I don't know, and I also couldn't find a source for that, but we'll get to that later.
Hmm. Well, Bill Maher, but that 23, so just assumes, right, but that 23% higher death rate could not be the disease itself. Kennedy replies, if it is, then the vaccine doesn't work, doesn't it?
Oi, got him. So basically Maher fucked up because he totally misinterpreted the idea of the way this thing worked. Same with you. You were like, what the fuck are you talking about? So essentially there's a number of participants in this trial, and the ones who got the vaccine apparently died at a higher rate at the end of the study than those who didn't. A significantly higher death rate, which means that basically they didn't die from
COVID. I've seen these kinds of misrepresentations of statistics that they're almost certainly mathematically blind or mathematically compromised.
Yeah.
These things, I've just seen this sort of peddling of stuff. This is why we get to these 25% of Americans believe they know someone who died because of the C-19 shots. In Australia, what are we talking about? We're talking about 14, 15 deaths for 14, I think.
Yeah, but then again,
that'd be a hard thing to pull off, 26 million people, unless it was Johnny Farnham in the clinical trial, unless it was, Jimmy Barnes.
But look at Cooker comment sections. They all think that they know someone who's had a vaccine injury.
How can you delude yourself into, I know someone. Well, I know someone who knows someone.
People say their friends are dying, dropping like flies. And it's like, mate, you've got no friends. You've got no friends. Yeah. Stop making them up.
Well, this is what we're talking about. They're actually doing it for clout because at least people will go and like it, in a sort of anti-vax echo chamber.
Oh, they'll get follows, they'll get retweets,
start thinking, oh, people actually like
Brad Jammin, this guy on Twitter who's blocked me ages ago, just says wild shit and gets huge traction because people are insane. Yeah. They want to believe wild shit because their lives are so fucking boring. It is mental. Anyway, so basically, yeah, so you fucked up the whole thing and then sort of backpedaled on it. But one of the things that they kick off on the exchange is that Maher asks, basically, if JFK, RFK Jr. wants to recall the Moderna vaccine and that he had that, Bill Maher had that. And RFK comes back and says, this is his usual bullshit line. He says it all the time. They need to have true double-blind placebo-controlled trials on vaccines.
You can't
do that. You
simply cannot do that. Yeah, he knows. Well, I mean,
you can. Only at the start. So he knows this is bullshit because he's not that stupid. He's a bullshit artist trial lawyer who will say anything to get a perceived win, and that's the Gischgelt we were talking about earlier. There were double-blind placebo-controlled trials on COVID-19 vaccines before the release.
That's right.
Because this is the only time you're ethically able to do this, because once a vaccine has been released, it is fucking psychotic to ask people to just roll the dice with whether they were vaccinated against a deadly disease or not.
Correct.
Before the vaccine is released, however, there's no chance to be vaccinated regardless. If you're not in the trial, you're not getting the jab. So that's okay. It's not as much of an ethical issue, although it's still an ethical issue because they were doing this on medical staff who thought they might be vaccinated and they weren't, and some of them died. Anyway, so.
Basic Nuremberg Treaty stuff.
It fucking is, really.
No, it's more advanced.
It's so bad. But this is the thing. They did them. I don't necessarily agree with the fact they happened, but this is what this fuckhead wants. And he's just a liar. He just keeps on lying. So what he's saying is that the ones released after the first ones, they're not double-blind placebo-controlled.
After.
Yeah. Well, I was in a fucking COVID-19 vaccine trial, and if it was placebo-controlled, I would have walked. Of course I fucking would have. There's no way I'm just going to go and be maybe vaccinated against COVID-19. What? I was either given the old one or the new one. I don't know. It was blind. But it wasn't placebo, because that would be insane. And this man is either willfully lying and bullshitting or a fucking moron.
He uses a double blind placebo line often, and he needs to be pulled up on it. And
no one ever does.
It's an unfortunate thing that Maher is just not smart enough to do it.
Not smart enough or implicit. I'm not sure which. He did kick back on him, but God, he gave him kid gloves. But Maher isn't known for being that smart. He's more sort of reactionary and funny. Anyway, so as for the statistics, 25% of Americans believe they know someone who died from a COVID jab, and 52% of Americans believe the vaccines are causing injuries, including death. And look, let's face it, that, as we said, that is just fine proof of his fine work, peddling disinformation, pushing his own bullshit agenda, and it working. So well done. Great. You have convinced idiots to believe something dumb. He doesn't quote the poll he's referring to, which means I had to look for it. God forbid you actually quote your sources because you're such a fucking man of science. It turns out it was probably a Rasmussen poll in late 2023, mm-hmm. and it was 24% of Americans.
Ah, so he's just rounding up a bit.
He's rounding up, yeah. And apparently, 23 more people died in the Pfizer study. Now, I could not find a thing for this. I went on DuckDuckGo. I didn't just Google it. I fucking went hard. I was looking around. I could not find this 23% more people died in the Pfizer study thing. He does explain that 22,000 people were in the placebo group and 22,000 got the actual vaccine, which makes me wonder, Bobby, didn't you just say the vaccine trials were not placebo-controlled? Did you just what?
That is a double blind.
Yeah, I'm double blind as to what you're talking about.
He's really made that up. It would seem he's just pulled that one straight out of his ass, Joe. Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. He just makes these wild claims of zero substance. If it was a good stat, tell me where to find it so I can actually look it up.
Okay, there's the chat. But look, there's good news. The RFK Jr. gambit has basically failed. While he isn't even on the ballot for many states and has been pretty blatant about being a spoiler candidate, as many of you probably predicted, he is turning out to be a spoiler candidate for Trump, not Biden.
Aww.
Kennedy's desperate attempts to pretend to have vaguely leftist politics have been dashed by the fact that when given the chance to speak, he is clearly a culture war conservative with very few Democrat-aligned policies.
Yeah.
He's a disappointment to his family.
Literally is. I love that they basically came out and just went, Biden is a bigger Kennedy than that fuckwit.
He just wouldn't be invited to Kennebunkport anymore. I wouldn't.
No, think. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't even be able to steer anyone off any boats or anything.
He just won't stop talking. in that awful.
I know. Get that fixed,
man.
He sort of half claims that was a flu jab injury, but he sort of like walks back a bit. But it's just like, is it the one or two flu jabs you got, or is it the thousands of times you took heroin? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Look, latest polling has him losing the election. But while Trump leads Biden by 2 points in a poll released by NBC News on 21st of April, is him losing by 2 points when the full candidate field is released. Unsurprisingly, Republican voters view Kennedy much more favorably, 40% positive, 15% negative, and then Democrat voters do, 16% positive, 53% negative. Tulsi Gabbard, who is completely cooked and mates with RFK Jr., has publicly pleaded with him to leave the race so Biden isn't re-elected.
Uh-huh.
Trump has called RFK Jr. a wasted protest vote. Yeah, he did that the other day, which isn't exactly wrong. But then said he'd even take Biden over Jr., which is a fucking strange thing. He's a very strange man. It's a strange thing to say about someone that Trump's team asked to consider being a running mate. That being said, he did want to hang his last VP, so who knows? Yeah. Junior is running at around 10% on 538's polling average. That's a weighted polling average.
Yeah.
The majority of it seems to be coming from Trump. Coming from Trump's boat or the Republican vote. The Donald gave Jr. a huge spray the other day, as you mentioned. Jr. was a Democrat plant, he was saying.
Yep.
Jr. fired back, describing Trump's spray as barely coherent. So he's trying to run this thing. He's about 8 years younger than Trump. He's no spring chicken. And he's trying to look like he's the Marlboro man.
It feels like fucking kayfabe here where they're just like pretending to have a rivalry. You know, like it's The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm like, I don't fucking buy it. You guys are ideological bum chums and there's no fucking way you guys are actually at each other. You think this is going to work? You think the Kennedy name will bleed Democrat votes? And you think wrong because you are constantly out on the Hastings being a cunt. So, yeah, stop talking to people on right-wing media about things they like anti-vax rhetoric, and you might steal less votes from Trump. Newsflash. Anyway, this sort of Trump pivot to attack Kennedy has kicked off since the poll was released and appears to be a knee-jerk reaction to his success in winning cooked, red-pilled Republican voters. The polls don't lie. So when it comes to disinformation pushing cult leaders, you can't really pick and choose which ones you can use to your advantage because kicking back on them can really look bad. cult members don't like their cult leaders being attacked. So cookers will see through this, I think. Rarely do. But attacking the blue-eyed baby killer Kennedy,
so insightful.
It could turn out to be a mistake. I just think this could be a massive electoral fuck-up, and I'm here for it. So while RFK Jr.'s – I keep saying Jay – while RFK Jr.'s entire candidacy has been a joke from the start, mostly about trying to red pill normies from the sort of platform granted to presidential candidates, if he managed to keep Trump out of the White House thanks to his attention-seeking stunt, I will call this even.
Yeah, Jr. could become Trump's Ross Perot.
Yes.
1992 election, George Herbert, sitting president, lost to Bill Clinton. Ross Perot notched 80% of the vote, most of it red vote, and Al Gore. Ralph Nader definitely pinched a picture. A lot of people reckon Al Gore actually won.
The Nader thing. I like Nader, but yeah.
That, you take his vote out and Al Gore wins comfortably.
Uncle Ralph did make a boo-boo that year. Oh, well.
Not his best moment. Look, there are a number of people on the ballot in various states. There's the Greens woman, and they'll take about 2-3%. He might get 10. By the looks of things, it's running at about 10. Look, if Biden and Trump go head-to-head, it might rise because, you know, Americans are looking at essentially which granddad they want.
Well, one thing that Democrats are really good at is giving campaign spend to candidates that they want to be either winning primaries or buoyed in an election in ways they don't expect are actually negative. So I can see a strong campaign from the Democrats highlighting everything that RFK Jr. truly believes and letting voters decide. And I think the Republicans are going to flock to him like fucking butter on a stick.
I think one of the first things it says within the Constitution is all laws within all... within.
You can eat shit and die.
Look, it's time to revitalise a much-loved segment on the program. Which black pill fuckwit said that? Now, we are going to do this maybe as a one-off, or maybe we'll kick it off more frequently if we get some listener support. Listener support. Yeah. We're doing it this time because listener Kurt dropped us a line with an important quote. But if others want to send us a quote of such earth-shattering stupidity, such mind-numbing foolishness that we just have no other choice, it has to go on the show. You can do this, listeners, by dropping said egregious, hopefully stupid and funny quote to the conditional release program at gmail.com, and we'll put it on the show. Maybe. I can't say fairer than that. By the way, apropos of nothing, and please check my Twitter feed, but there is a lovely retweet. Well, it was just a magnificent thing that I had to retweet, and it came from the Melania Trump X page. The former First Lady is selling cheap necklaces, and they are really cheap, for Mother's Day. $240 a pop. Two for a monkey. It can't be fairer than that. Anyway, no mention in the ad of what metal the necklace is made of. Now, I'm no metallurgist, but Melania's Mother's Day necklace looked like about 12 cents worth of zinc alloy to me. Hell of a grift. I mean, the comments underneath it, please find it. But it is a magnificent, the comments on the sale, every mother needs to feel loved. Sort of this is really soft advertising from her ex account, and there she was knocking them out for $240.
Bless.
Just incredible. The whole family just massive grifters. Anywho, black pill fuck with. It was a bit of a sign that maybe Donald's cut the pocket money off for a while, or might have dropped down. Anyway, black pill fuck with. Sorry, everyone.
Now, here we go. I digress. You digress. We're all digressing.
Now, here we go, courtesy of Kurt. All right, Joel. You know what you're going to win? For love of God.
Ooh, does that include forgiveness? Because I've done some fucked up shit.
You bet. He's forsaken you, of course, as you know.
Oh, well, for now.
But you can win him back if you get this question right.
Oh, good.
Which black pill fuckwit said this? God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses, and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. That's a pretty amazing thing to say, isn't it? That we've had an eclipse. It's God is angry.
God is angry. He's easily angered.
Who said that? Was it liver health specialists, excuse me, and a man with more than $1 billion to pay in damages to the parents of children killed at Sandy Hook? And as yet, is my understanding, not paid a cracker. The check's in the mail. Alex Jones. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent, earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come.
It's something that he would say, you know.
I pray that our country listens. Was it coming to Australia? Just don't get your hands and feet anywhere near Clive Palmer while he's eating a schnitty. Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Tucker gets a bit wacky on the religion anyway.
Yeah, he's a bit of a God botherer.
Was it clouds will kill us, and if they don't, the lizards will? A chef's kiss. Mwah! Current conspiracist David Icke.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an Icke one, this one. I think this is going to be a,
God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. Maybe locusts.
Yeah, I like locusts. They're tasty.
Yeah, like very, very. When there are a lot of them, it's annoying.
That's just a big meal. It's just a big meal, Jack. It's fine. Get a net. Do your work.
We've got one more. Yeah, we'll just read the question. We'll read the comment again. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Time. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. Was that Darnette Moscow Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Okay. Now, my response is two-tiered and problematic. I know the answer to this. I don't actually know the answer to it. So I've listened to two podcasts recently, which is Planet America podcast and Knowledge Fight.
Planet America podcast.
It's either Alex Jones or Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think I heard it on Planet Extra podcast.
I think you're absolutely right. You have the love of God, Joel. The love of God. Do you feel
forgiveness? Is it forgiveness until now or forgiveness like forever? Can I do fucked up shit now or is it just my past sins that get repented? You know,
as we said before, there's still the criminal justice system.
So, well, yeah, there is that. Pesky criminal justice system.
The man
will
get you. And that's what we're going to go to now. Sausage V, the man.
We fired you. We sacked you. We dismissed you as what? As garbage, because that's all you are. You're a criminal. You're a traitor. And you're going to the biggest barbecue in history. So from Christmas dinner to you are the dinner.
Thank you. That's what I'll go with.
And it's generally considered not a good idea to threaten judges. I would have thought, just in that kind of high-risk category of behaviours, it's kind of like cliff jumping or threatening judges.
Yeah, it's problematic. It's problematic.
Fire off a few arrest warrants for officers of the court. But a Colorado subset has thought, I'll give it a crack.
What could possibly go wrong?
It all started in 2017 when a judge presiding over a custody case between Nelson and the mother of his child stated that Nelson tried to call his own court into session during the hearing, which understandably didn't end well.
Aww.
He lost custody of his daughter. Sorry, shouldn't be laughing. Well,
it's probably the best.
Well, he probably would not be much of a dad by the sounds of things.
No.
Now, most people would sit back at that point, reflect, and maybe think, maybe I should just pull back a bit.
Yeah.
But not our man, Nelson.
No, not old Nelly. Nelson asserted in an Alamosa County filing that his freedom was a fundamental right of his estate and warned that any action against his estate, such as arrest, court proceeding, or legal process, will be punishable by death.
Death, well, you know, first offence.
It just seems a bit much. I mean, like, you know, does it have to be death?
But that's not all. Nelson charged on Joe.
Nelson filed a claim of damages against the mother of his child in the amount of $202,000, accused her of criminal kidnapping and an act of treason, classic, and demanded she deliver him the child or be arrested.
Very specific numbers, isn't that? $202,000.
I was thinking that. I was going to pull it up, but I was like, have we gone too long? Should I not talk shit about $202,000? Am I nitpicking?
Anyway,
no.
Keep going.
We're both pedants. It's fine. Nelson filed a claim of damages against the Gunnison County judge who presided over the child custody case for the same amount, demanded return of his child, and threatened to file a lien against her personal property.
Putting a ban on the sale of Joe, so she can't actually sell the house.
Yeah, it's like a sort of caveat type thing. It's old caveat. Style caveat.
Caveat on a property, essentially.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that judge purchased a security system for her home, and the sheriff's office increased patrols in the area after Nelson called the home and spoke to the judge's husband. Cool.
Having a bit of a stalk as well.
Just classic. Look, you know, unlike us, they will press charges. Nelson filed a default judgment against an Alamosa County judge, claiming the judge owed him $425,000. I'm guessing that's $420,000. Smoke it up every day, guys. And filed a power of attorney document proclaiming his legal authority over the judge. Filed a judgment document increasing the awarded damages to almost $7 million, which has no marijuana references whatsoever. Oh, is there seven leaves on a marijuana leaf?
These are the judges.
I think it might be. And then repeatedly messaged the judge's personal email address demanding payment. It's not how you make friends, Nelson.
It's not what I make friends.
So that judge warned his family members to call 911 if Nelson was ever seen and provided them a photo of him, which is a very fucking reasonable thing to do.
This sounds like he might be our first subsit winner, Joe. He might be. If he just keeps terrorizing judges, nothing will happen.
It's a problematic approach with problematic results. So
it's a rather long list. Give it to us.
I mean, look, Nelson filed a default judgment against a Colorado State Patrol trooper for $5,000, another against Alamosa County Sheriff's Office deputy for $650,000, and two other deputies for $36,000 each, another against a Gunnison County deputy for $75,000, and another against a corporal with Gunnison County Sheriff's Office for $95,000.
The corporal and the Gunnison County Sheriff's Office obviously really misbehaved.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, don't be naughty and you won't get a fucking fine. So Nelson filed a default judgment against the deputy district attorney in the 12th Judicial District who prosecuted traffic offences against Nelson, which is treason, in the amount of $275,000 for, quote, unlawfully administering his estate, illegal detainment in a false court, abuse of her position, attack of the rights of we the people, and acts of treason, humiliation, and intimidation. Oh,
treason, obviously. Obviously.
Obviously, obviously. That's very good. So Nelson filed a default judgment against a Gunnison County nurse for $185,000.
A nurse? Yeah, just cheer her up. Probably might have threatened him with a jab. Well, he may have taken the jab and that's what's happening now.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe his derangement.
She's a nurse.
Is actually a vaccine
that's
injury.
It's important to remember. She's a nurse, and he's filed a default judgment against her for $185,000. All these figures are in US dollars, by the way.
And for reasons that we just can't quite comprehend. Thanks. So Nelson filed a default judgment against Gunnison County social worker who is involved in a child abuse investigation against Nelson for $45,000. I hadn't read that. Fuck. Wow.
He's really trying it on, isn't he?
He's not a good person. He's in a child abuse investigation. He goes after the... Anyway, so Nelson was charged with theft in 2017. He filed default judgments against the three alleged victims. Victims of his theft in the amounts of $325,000 and $550,000. This fucking guy, I tell you what, I've grown weary of this man. So Nelson also filed a power of attorney notice against the deputy district attorney who prosecuted the theft case. Dude, you stole something. Plus the same notice against another deputy DA in the 7th who prosecuted two misdemeanor cases against Nelson. God, he loves being in trouble. And yet another notice against the county attorney for Alamosa County after he refused to accept Nelson's previous documents and filings, which, of course, as we all know, is treason. What a fucking psycho.
A lot of treason in there. Yeah, very, very long list. So much winning there. He's chalked up about $4 million in demands, threats, court orders. And there was one other thing.
This is fucking great. So you can't get in this much trouble without getting a little bit of attention. And Nelson also filed a demand for $135,000 from the then editor... in chief, or the editor of the Gunnison County Times, who reported on the theft case.
Just reported it. 135, please, right now.
Yep.
135 grand was a relatively piddling amount in this guy's claims, but he's a Tyler associate who hates the mainstream media.
Honestly.
So give him a bit of a backhander. So it all ended well. He made a fortune. Judges, nurses, and district attorneys never to bother him again, and he won the lot. He's free to live his life, and no government can ever touch him again. Besides, where's their jurisdiction, Joe?
Where's the jurisdiction? Deeds and titles. Deeds and titles.
Hang on just a minute. It didn't end quite like that, Joe. Oh. This is from the Denver Post.
Oh, okay. Let's see what happened here. A Colorado judge on Wednesday handed a 12-year prison sentence to a man found guilty of threatening and harassing judges in the state.
They will carry a grudge, won't they? I mean,
yes. Well, consequences are actually quite rare for people like this, but apparently this sort of pseudo-legal terrorism is a problem.
That's right. Don't do it to judges.
Yeah, that's it. That's what happened to bloody Buckley. You know, he did all sorts of silly things, but then when he pissed off the lawyer mums group on Facebook, they were like, oh, no, you're getting struck off, mate.
So he's been given, Brett's been given 12 years.
He has. 12,
yeah.
The Denver Post goes on to say, using legal tactics popularized by the sovereign citizen movement, Brett Nelson filed fraudulent motions for default judgments and powers of attorney against court staff and judges overseeing criminal and domestic cases where he was a defendant. Nelson also filed fake quick claims, which is like a transfer of property deeds, in attempt to seize property he did not own. So
a little bit of fraud that get there.
But, yeah. Just going to go down the road and
friends.
Quick claim someone and then I'll get their property. It's cool. It's like squatting, but really quick. So a grand jury indictment filed in April 2022 indicated Nelson made threatening calls and harassed more than a dozen named victims, including 7th Judicial District judges Kerry Yoder, Donald Jackson, and Ashley Burgemeister. I love that. Americans have such great names. As well as Alamosa County Judge Daniel Wilsall.
One, two, three, four. Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Judges just so terrorizing far. Them.
Oh, here we go.
Senior District Judge Kenneth Plotz, who has been named in at least 9 of the scores of civil complaints Nelson's filed, presided over the state's case against him at the Gunnison County Combined Court. After a 10-day trial in March, a jury found Brett Nelson, 45, of rural Mosca, Colorado, guilty of 20 criminal charges, including extortion, conspiracy, and retaliation. Didn't know it was really a charge.
Interesting charge.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of that.
Conspiracy to be a bit of a dickhead. Prosecutors argued that Nelson hoped to sway the outcome of his own cases, no shit, at his arraignment last year. Nelson characterized the proceedings as a kangaroo court, which surprisingly did not respond to threats, my editorial there, and told the judge, you terrify me because you have absolutely no regard for my rights.
How dare you?
Yeah.
His rights in 12 years, you know, he's not going to have any rights for a while.
Yeah.
And then after probably about 10, maybe even 8, he will have some. Threatening 4 judges in total. I think nice. I got the 4, but it might be more. It seemed like such a good idea at the time.
Why not?
Oh, and I just threatened a few judges. Look, they've been very, very unpleasant to me.
They have no regard for his rights at all.
No regard for my rights. They've Where's made that their jurisdiction?
Very clear. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. So if we have a quick look at the scoreboard, as we always do at the end of this segment, it tells us that it's 12 years.
Yes.
The man zero, 12 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Another self-sit winner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Consequences, my friend, consequences.
There is free speech, but there's also consequences for free speech, for your speech.
I'm a staunch patriot. I love our country. I love our freedoms. I love that in Australia you can be anything that you want to be. There is nothing and no one stopping you from achieving your hopes, your aspirations, and your dreams.
Jack, it looks like Babbitt has chucked a brand.
I know.
Yeah.
He's found the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. May Ralph's tennis ball head be praised by the saints.
You know, opportunistically claiming to be of a religion they have barely mentioned until it became either politically or economically expedient to do so, that's now chucking a brand.
Mm.
We've established this.
I think
this
I'd rather chuck Bradbury myself. You know, you can win a bit easier that way.
I do sometimes feel that Babbitt did chuck a Bradbury in a way.
Well, he's yeah.
Kind of did. Absolutely. Anyway, look, it looks like the biggest dimwit in Australian political history has outdone himself by heavily aligning himself with the most persecuted religion on earth, Christianity.
I know.
Yeah, not the Jews.
It's terrible what we've done to him since he's become a Christian, Joe. It's terrible how we've persecuted him.
We've mocked him mercilessly, and he's never deserved it. So in a tweet, Babbitt posted a statement with the caption, "Christianity is the most persecuted religion on earth."
Mm.
Cool. Is that historically accurate? Is there... Okay.
No. I mean, it depends where you are. If you're in Myanmar, Christianity would be a whole lot better place to be than being Muslim, for example.
Yeah, the Rohingyas. Yeah, the Muslims do cop a little bit of a stick. In China.
Maybe in India, with a fair amount of, shall we say, religious sort of nationalism around.
It's the Muslims who cop it there as well, isn't it? Modi's
a Muslim
purges.
Or a Christian in Hindu India with its 1.4 billion people.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, look, Babbitt, go.
I don't know.
Do your own research and come back, Babbitt. That's right. Great. I'm sure you've got a Google or DuckDuckGo. I really don't care. The statement that he's posted here basically challenges Police Commissioner Karen Webb, who said that those involved in the riot following the stabbing of Bishop Murray Emanuel should expect a knock on the door. Now, I'm just going to put a bit of a side note here. Big thanks to citizen journalist Chris Coveries for giving the police some excellent footage to help find these individuals. Because... Say what you want about him. You know, you call him all the names under the sun, but he really has good gear. He knows how to use it. He captures the scene in high definition, the kind of definition you can really zoom in on faces.
It reminds me a bit of a sort of Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
And he just turns up and that's his superhuman weapon, his camera.
His superpower is a gimbal and a high-resolution footage, which police can use to focus in on identifying features like tattoos. I like it. It's great. No,
top work, Chris. Top work.
Fucking great work. Thanks, brother. So Babbitt goes on to whinge that pro-Palestine protesters were not given the same treatment and claims that if you're a Christian upset that someone has just stabbed your priest, police will come to your home and arrest you. I don't know. Followers of the news will... understand why that's ridiculous. I don't think I need to explain.
There have been a number of people charged. They've been charged with causing a riot.
Yeah, so there was
a
fairly
serious charge.
In the wake of the stabbing, there was a fucking riot. There was a dead set riot. 51 cops were injured.
Step up the scale, the criminal scale.
42 vehicles were damaged, 30 of them written off.
Mm.
So it's not like just a little bit of damage. They didn't fuck with their rear view mirrors. Something bad happened. So even paramedics that arrived on the scene to treat the bishop were considered fair game by these mutants and had to hide in the church. They could not get the bishop into the ambulance because there was a riot outside, angry about the bishop being stabbed. Can you fucking believe that? Anyway, just these fucking idiots. They just need to take the Xanax and fucking lie down. They just love trouble. So Babbitt's on their side, which is cool. The guys who went to protest someone being stabbed so passionately that the person who had been assaulted could not go to hospital thanks to their intervention. Top work, guys. Do it again any day. Thanks. So while the cops didn't really need footage from Chris to arrest the first man because he filmed himself committing the crimes, which is a classic move, we've all seen it before. They claim to have 600 hours of footage to pour through, which has resulted in 10 arrests. So for that, Chris, we say thank you. I'm sure you're only about 4 of those hours, but I know it will be really well shot, which really helps in court. In the wake of the stabbing incident, a video had been shared on social media of the alleged offender, a juvenile, attacking the bishop. We talked about it earlier. That's a thing. This has become yet another dopey culture war football, and Babbitt is all about it because, of course, this is now free speech. Now, it should be self-evident why a video that shows a violent attack by a juvenile who is before the court should not be shared on social media. But idiots who think free speech means speech free of any meaningful consideration or thought have taken to sharing the video as some kind of dumb show of like alpha male rebellion, coupled with this sort of classic simping session for Elon Musk.
I thought Elon was going to geo-block it.
Oh, I thought, no. As if. He doesn't know how to because he's not smart and he fired everyone. Doesn't work. So the irony of this, right, is that this segment was going to be longer. I was going to elaborate on this. I've got a Sock Puppet account, which I, of course, use because Babbitt blocked me. And I was going to go into all the posts of Babbitt simping for Elon over this video. And I can't. And do you know why? Fucking Twitter's broken. I can't load new posts. I couldn't write the segment. I'll assure you, and I'm sure you believe me about this, that despite the fact that I couldn't give you a properly laid out verbatim segment with quotes and everything, just take my word for it, Zippy was a real cunt about it.
Well, look, and just a reminder, people out there, please don't persecute Christians. And just, you know, whenever you see
it just,
a Christian,
it just gives them something to complain
just
about.
Walking the street, just, you know, don't pull over the car. There's no need to yell abuse. Just don't do that, please. Don't persecute Christians.
No,
let's
don't
get
do
the,
it.
Let's get the stats down.
Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to riot. And then if someone gets stabbed, they won't be able to have fucking medical help. Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to the Conditional Release Program with your host, Jack Dinsel and Joel Hill. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. And if you've enjoyed our bullshit, throw us a 5-star review on your podcast app.
Jack can be found on Twitter on @JackTheInsider, although he's not going to check it, so don't bother. Joel on @CurrentModes with a K. I'm very
DMs.
Similar. Well, you check DMs, yeah. I don't fucking... Anyway, follow us, I guess, whatever. I still do stuff, I guess. Anyway, we set up a Facebook page you can find fairly easily. Man, that's active. Conditional Release Program, shit posting group. Oh, man, it's full on. Promoting a podcast, easier said than done. So if you could just share the episode or a past episode or anything or just... leave us a review or fucking whatever. Just, you know, do something. Help us. Help us.
The Patreon is up and running and we ask listeners to consider throwing a few dollars our way.
Yeah, that does help. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to all sorts of bonus content. We do it on the semi-regular and you'll feel all warm and fuzzy for helping us out. Please keep the lights on. It is harder on this side of the grift. We're not selling supplements.
And finally, all feedback, tips and death threats should be sent to the Conditional Release Program @gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, even if it's to tell us that you found God. A forgiving God has given you a pass on all that sexual assault you've done.
Oh, thank God. Now I can finally throw out that evidence.
Free at last.
Free at last. Just got to dip my head.
I don't think I ever want to talk to any of those people.
Fuck me! You guys are bastards!